Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
That's what they call me, Mr. Humble. That's what they call me around here. Welcome back, folks. If we can't have fun, let's just forget about it. You know, I hope you have that attitude in your business. You know, you can be a serious business owner with all the serious stuff we got going on right now. You know, we're not going to get out of this thing alive. We're not going to make it. We're not going to get out alive. We don't get to do this. This isn't dress rehearsal. We don't get to do this and come back and do it again. This is the only one of these we get. So let's have some fun. Let's laugh about some things. Let's laugh at ourselves. Let's learn how to laugh at ourselves. I'm doing the best I can at laughing at myself, and I have plenty of amusement, by the way. When you're me, you get to laugh a lot because I'm an imperfect person. But I've decided that if I don't laugh at myself, I'm going to miss some of the best laughs of my life. So be serious about your business, but don't be too serious about yourself. Jim Ostroff is with us. He's our good friend. I'm very serious about Jim Ostroff because he's a serious guy. He's a serious journalist among a bunch of other serious journalists, and that's the good folks at Kiplinger. And we're talking about the Kiplinger letter today, and glad to have Jim Ostroff back with us. Jim, welcome back.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, boys and girls.
It's good to have you back, Jim. Jim, the one of the big issues right now is what will the government do about the Bush tax cuts? Now, 81%, I polled my audience and visitors to my website and asked them to record their votes on what should we do about the Bush tax cuts. Should they be extended or should they be allowed to lapse? 81% said they should be extended. And that was just our little poll.
Right.
Other polls are showing the same thing. And yet we got politicians who are wringing their hands over what to do up there. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and, you know, the thing here is, yeah, that people are looking here at the implications of just rolling it over for some period of time. And, you know, if they did that for another 10 years, this was 10 years, they do it for another 10 years, the U.S. would be saddled with an additional $3 trillion in budget deficits. That's
yeah.
By 2020. And the public debt as a percentage of the GDP at 82%.
There are two things, though, that misses. So what you're saying is if they don't renew the taxes, if they let the taxes stay as they are, we'll have that the deficit will increase by that much.
By $3 trillion
okay.
over a decade.
But there's two things that I believe that. I think that's accurate, probably accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two things that it leaves out. Number one is the fact that we don't have a tax, we don't have a revenue problem in America. We got a spending problem. And number two, it presumes that by holding the taxes down, that dynamic scoring won't take place, which is where when businesses have more of their money back in taxes, they create more, they grow more, and actually income can be a tax income can increase through that kind of dynamic activity.
Well, you know, there are always questions about dynamic scoring and how it really will work in the real world, but. I have to say here that, of course, this is somewhat political, you know, and of course, that is why, you know, that you have some Republicans, or many Republicans, not all, but many who say, yeah, no, you must extend these, it's
yep.
very important. And some Democrats say, no, you know, that just shows, there you go again, trying to
mm-hmm.
cut taxes for the rich. But I must say here, because we've looked into this, that even, you might say here, there's an Obama proposal that would basically keep, you know, lower rates keep the tax cuts for people who have individuals with
right.
a taxable income of under $200,000 a year, or couples $250,000, and even that is something which you know sort of preserves it mainly for middle incomers and et cetera, would increase the federal debt by $2.3 trillion. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are big numbers, and...
Jim, one thing I'd like to do is, I'd like to... We've talked about dynamic scoring on the show before, mm-hmm. and I just want to take a second to explain what
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
To me, folks, if you tax somebody a dollar, you get the government gets a dollar. If you don't tax that dollar, that extra dollar, and for small businesses... And I'll finish this on the other side. I need to finish this story because this is really important, I think, in understanding how small businesses work and why I think dynamic scoring works. 22, right back with Jim Ostroff after these messages. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. And don't forget to take our poll question, which this week is about whether the health care bill is good for small business, whether it will be or not. We'd like to know what your answer is, either yes or no, or maybe you don't have enough information. Those three options, and we'd like to know what you think. And when you give us your answer, when you tell us what you think, you'll be able to see what everybody else is saying. On the immediately, instantaneously. So check it out. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. We'll send you that every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And then, of course, all the other things that are there to help you with your small business. And that's smallbusinessadvocate.com. All of that's free, by the way. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's our good friend from the Kiplinger Letters. We're talking about the Kiplinger Letter. Jim, as we were going to the break, I was talking about dynamic scoring. If you charge small business owners another dollar taxes, you'll get a dollar. If you don't charge them that dollar, I've interviewed many, many small business owners. I've asked many small business owners, not only in the United States, Jim, but around the world, if you had a dollar more of your tax dollars to keep, what would you do with that business? 100% of the people I've asked that instantaneously said I would reinvest it in my business. Jim, that's dynamic scoring. So that's what I mean by that is if you save a dollar of taxes for a small business owner, the government will ultimately get $2 back, and the small business owner will keep it for himself. That's dynamic scoring in my definition, and I believe it works.
But congressional budget people don't.
What do they know, Jim?
I mean, they're just
geniuses from MIT. What do they know, Jim?
That's right. But they don't, and there is, you can argue about it, but there is something to that. And that is also, if you, for instance, cut taxes, by a dollar, it's possible that you'll get more than a dollar in tax revenue. At times.
Well, if you cut taxes for individuals. I'm not saying that's where you get dynamic scoring. But if you cut taxes on people who create jobs, that's where I think dynamic scoring works. So what are they going to do? They, 81% of my folks say they should leave them in place. But that's what's going on, and they're between a rock and a hard place, aren't they, Jim? Because they need to raise revenue, but they also have the political issue of the taxes.
They do, and the elections in November. I mean, we think the most likely thing is either that they very quickly and quietly do a one-year extension of the existing tax cuts.
Kick the can.
It's punt it down the road, or they basically just let it expire and come back early next year and take mm-hmm. this up again. Most likely, they will just punt. We've seen that time and again.
Right.
But I got to say, the thing is, they can't do that. I'm here on estate taxes. Those, the cuts expire.
Right.
And you might say, even because we have looked into this, even liberals, people who claim they are liberals, don't want to see the top tax rate jump, to 55%. percent.
Right, for the estate tax.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, most want to see this reinstated, maybe with some changes, but not let it expire.
Mm-hmm.
The $1 million limit, I mean, today is very low, you know, for business.
Well, and I think you're right about this. I think the extension is what's going to happen. They don't have time to do anything else, Jim.
No, they don't.
If the Democrats were smart, they would announce that before the November elections.
Right, but I was just saying they're politicians, and who knows? And
who knows what they're going to do? Let's move over and talk about the economy, Jim. You've got it in two different places here. One is on your forecast. Interest rates, you say, are going to go up next year.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
The
prime rate next year should be about 3.25%. I should say we see it there until maybe mid 2011.
Yeah.
You know, and the
so that's not a big deal because I mean that's not much of a, that's a very low prime rate.
It is.
And then inflation, you're saying, is actually coming down. Are we in a period of disinflation or are we headed towards deflation?
You know, Kiplinger has looked into this very closely. And we think, put it this way, that we will continue to see for at least another year, probably a little more, minuscule inflation of, you know, up 1.5%.
The good news is we're not facing the stagflation thing right now.
So far, no.
Yeah, and folks, that's where we had the 70s, where the unemployment was high, interest rates were high. Growth was low, and it was just a big mess.
Right. We're not there.
Inflation was high, and it was a mess. Stagflation. We're not going to have that, at least not as you say right now. That would be a killer if we had that right now. But the main thing is that the Fed this week, Jim, as you know, didn't do anything with interest rates, but they did talk about putting some more money in the economy, didn't they?
Well, they did, and basically, ultimately, rather than selling off certain things that they have acquired, several trillion dollars worth, it's going to hold on to it. And I just said the effect of that is to gently put more money back into the economy, keep interest rates, you know, sure, interest rates will be low.
Right.
But, of course, the Fed also went on to say that the economic recovery is not proceeding at the pace they had foreseen. And
it's because, Jim, it's because of the uncertainty right now. I mean, we got still got a lot of taxes, high unemployment, housing still bad, but mostly I think it's the real estate between our ears where the problem is, Jim. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Jim Ostroff and I will be right back. We're going to talk about energy when we come back. Stay with us.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. That's Kiplinger.com, right, Jim?
That it is. Yes, it is.
I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. It's an outstanding website, folks. Kiplinger, just like I said it, Kiplinger.com. And they have the outstanding Kiplinger letter, which I've been covering now for over 12 years on the show. And I've been reading it for a lot longer than that. And then they've got two biweekly letters, the tax letter and the agriculture letter. And then, of course, they've got your monthly magazine, Jim.
Right, the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
Which you can also get on the newsstands. What about that phone number?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
So check it out, folks, at Kiplinger.com. Lots of good stuff. Don't forget the 30-day free trial. Jim, energy, this is your beat. Talk to us about that.
There had been efforts here to enact significant energy legislation, basically to spur development of all sorts of energy, whether it be traditional or alternative. It's just fading very fast, and mainly, I got to say, one is it might entail voting to spend money, but also, talk about capping carbon emissions. So that, the whole thing seems to have gone away. There is some thought that, you know, Congress, in fact, may do some things looking at stuff like the BP spill to improve, you might say, oversight by government regulators here, but also by industry itself. But even that now seems rather slim. The clock is moving. Election season's almost here. And, of course, legislatures don't want to vote on anything that might be controversial. So you might just say here, and after all is said and done, you know, once again, it looks like Congress is punting.
Once again, we're not going to have a comprehensive energy bill.
That's correct.
And, Jim, we've got to have some leadership. We've got to get some leadership up there that will do this. We've got to combine, Jim, our existing systems, our existing fuel sources, with the alternative fuel sources, with innovations of the future. We've got to, and conservation. We got to combine all those three things: the possible, the existing, and the conservation. We got to do all three of those things in a way that makes sense. That's a national effort, and we can't get any leadership to put that together. Everybody either wants only old stuff or only new stuff. And you know, not everybody is trying to do, you know, trying to conserve. America has the ability, Jim, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. America has the ability to lead the century, to lead the world for this rest of this century in alternative energy if we could get serious about it and put our money and our mouths where that is.
And right now, the world leaders by far are China.
Yep.
They are taking the lead here, developing the technology.
That is a big, folks, that is more dangerous than any military they could mount.
It's very serious, very significant. And that includes autos, I got to say.
Right.
That includes autos, power plants, everything.
Hey, Jim, I want to move on quickly. I just want to say that you predicting that crude will be below $75, maybe as much as $65 by the end of the year. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
From your mouth to God's ears, right?
Well, that's what we see, and ultimately, though, it's tied in with the economy slowing.
Demand.
Demand.
Jim, let's move over. I want to talk about, you've got some 401k information for small businesses I want you to report on in the time we have left.
Okay, the thing is, you know, many small businesses, for whatever reason, establish 401k retirement plans. It can be a competitive benefit, where they just feel it's something they want to do. These things can be, though, somewhat expensive to administer. So the thing is, we're listing, you know, we say there are various companies. I'll just say from a Transamerica to an ePlan Services, and there are many others, that basically can help small businesses specifically administer A to Z retirement plans. Mm-hmm. And the charge is, you know, as low as $1,000 a year. And that is very significant because you can get some of this knowledge, ability, and these plans can be very competitive and helpful for your company.
And it makes it where small business owners can get closer to being able to provide some kind of retirement for their employees.
That's right.
And the good news is with a 401k, you can roll that over. If you leave the company, you can roll that over and put it into something else.
That's right. You can. It's very important. And many small companies have been at a disadvantage. Because, you know, they need the competition, but the cost has eaten it up.
So check that out, folks. And it's DOL, DepartmentofLabor.gov. You can find out more about the 401k plans there. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
And see you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. He'll be back. I will be too, but not today. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to never be afraid to try something new. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.